Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 12 of In the Database with Nana. I'm your host, Nana, and welcome. We're down to our semifinals of these playoffs, and sure has been interesting. Right before today's eliminations of the Nuggets, every series was 3-2. The NBA could not have asked for a better playoff-like script that they would want. Could possibly have had a bunch of game sevens, but one team has already hit the fan. But we're going to start with the ones that are still in. So the Knicks and Heat series. I mean, that series to me has been kind of a boring series. He hasn't lived up to the hype, mainly because the Knicks have just been bad. I mean, Tom has been using his players like 48 minutes. I mean, Brunson played 48 minutes last game. Nothing really sustainable. They went down 3-1 to a team missing a lot of players. I will have to say for the Miami Heat that they got to be happy with the production Bam has been giving. This is the Bam they've been looking for years. I mean, they could have been champions with this Bam if he played to his level. I do say that. I don't know how the contract situation is like in Miami. I know they're in a pretty bad situation. I do believe they should get rid of Tyler Hero and find Jimmy, an actual number two. Jimmy Butler, we love this phenomenon of playoff Jimmy, and I do too. But at some point, you got to get him some help. He needs a clear number two. He needs somebody. He needs to battle. Bam is not a number two. To me, Bam is like a number three, and he completes the team. And so, whoever's out there, I don't know a name that's going to be floating around in free agency this year. I don't want to put it up there, but Jaylen Brown is out there, and you get the defense, you get the offense, you get what you get everything you need. You don't need him to ball handle, none of that. If you're in Miami, like you're looking at the East right now, it's looking very open. If you look at the Eastern Conference, every team to me is just vulnerable. And I know the Bucks are probably gonna blow it up this offseason. We don't know how long with the health of Chris Middleton or Giannis can go. And you see the Heat, they're not afraid of the Bucks. And they're not afraid of the Celtics either. So if you want to go for it all before things get a little tricky and stuff, I think this is the year, this offseason for Miami to make some moves. And I am gonna give credit to Eric Spoelstra as probably the best coach in basketball, and certainly deserves a chance to run it back with legitimate roster. Playoff Jimmy has been incredible, but I want to see, like, there's nobody in their right mind thinking Miami's gonna win the champ, even though they have upset a lot of people. I knew they could upset the Heat, could they I knew they upset the Knicks, I mean the Bucks, but upsetting the Knicks is not like a big deal because the Knicks are the Knicks. But nobody's really expecting anybody in the East, if Heats come out, to beat either Denver, Golden State, or the Lakers. So getting this valuable help for Jimmy so he doesn't have to extend himself every playoff is super important. Moving on to the next series was the Celtics and the Sixers. This one's very odd to me. I never believe in Doc Rivers or James Harden in the playoffs. And then now you combine them together in the playoffs. It just seems like, like it just seems like you're asking for it. But this year, they got something very lucky. In the first round, they faced the Brooklyn team who had no business being in the playoffs. Only reason we're in the playoffs is because KD and Kyrie got them that record. They were in the playoffs because of that. And then in round two right now, they have the Celtic team, a Celtic team with a coach who might have a bigger CTE flare up than Doc Rivers, who might be in over his head. All he does is chew gum and doesn't really coach and has a random offense. I mean, his own players are calling their offense random. I really don't know what is going on with the Boston Celtics or what's going on over there. Clearly, they do need a coach. And it's sad because it's a year that the league is very mid and everything is wide open. And if you talk about the most complete roster, it should be the Boston Celtics. I mean, if you talk about the Nuggets and the Celtics, they're very close and complete rosters. And for you to be lacking in a position like with coaching just because your great coach was horny, and that's really what it comes down to. Like, it's sad, and they didn't really deserve the ending that they did. I mean, Golden State, Steph Curry, he's Steph Curry. He's one of the top 10 greatest players of all time. We'll end top five all time. So you got to tip your hat to that. But the coach doing all that nasty stuff, like, that's not normal. That's not normal. And then instead of getting an actual coach, you just said, you know, next man up on the roster. Here you go, young buck. You know, I don't know what the Celtics were thinking. I don't know what the organization was thinking. Maybe I think Brad Stevens should have came and stepped down and became a coach again. They would have had a much better chance. But because they started with such a good record, everybody kind of ignored their flaws. But you gotta, playoffs are a different beast. You gotta see that this guy's really not running plays very well. And if you're a Boston fan, it's getting really sticky for you right now, all over sports. I mean, your Bruins choked a 3-1 lead after winning so many games in the regular season. I mean, they just had what everybody likes to call a 7-3-9 2016 type of addition going on in Boston. We'll ignore what happened in 2016 because it was fake. But moving forward in this series, it's a matter of who shows up, which stars show up. And today, Jason Tatum at one point was like 0-14, 0-15 entering the fourth quarter with like 1 point. And you were up by 2 points. If you're the Philadelphia 76ers and you're at home and you have the quote unquote MVP, come on. Nobody else gets to, like, I know we're talking about Harden this, Harden that, Doc Rivers that, but you got the MVP on your team. Steph's not getting away with this if he was MVP. Jokic's not getting away with this. LeBron's not getting away with this. Heck, even KD's not getting away with this slander. Embiid is avoiding right now. You're Embiid. Where the hell were you in the fourth quarter? Where were you? Why were you when Jason Tatum, like, you know, you kept teasing, and finally he's like, you know what? I have no choice but to wake up and hit street. You got to know one shot will eventually go in. But before it does, you have to build some type of momentum. You have the home crowd, get a lead, be the MVP, be respectable. And you were not, Joel Embiid. And I'm afraid to say, you know, like, I can't even blame James Harden. Even though he wasn't giving you the ball, and even though, like, Doc wasn't running great plays, you're still – this is on you. You're the star of the team. You're the best player on the team. Figure it out. And I would say in Game 7, which is not because Celtics forced a Game 7, Boston has been horrendous at home. They've already lost 2 games in this series at home. If it was any other team in a Game 7, I would have guaranteed gave it to them, and especially if they're a number 2 seed team. But Boston, for some reason, this year and last year in the playoffs, have just not played well in their home court. And I don't know if that changes in Game 7. I don't know if you get a better Jason Tatum, because he started to catch fire in the end. He had 4 threes, and he was 4-for-5 from the 3-point line in the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter. Those things translate mentally into the next game. So if you're James Harden, they need the 40-point James Harden. Even heck, we'll settle for the 25-point efficient James Harden. We need Embiid, who's not twerking for fouls and actually being aggressive on the court. That's what they need. So it's a matter of which stars, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown versus Embiid and James Harden, who shows up. And more importantly, role players, who's going to be big. Boston was afloat all game because Malcolm Brogdon was that brother, was shooting lights out. Marcus Smart was shooting very well. Are you going to get that again at home? I don't know. Are you going to get Tyrese Maxey to show up? I don't know. Tobias, I mean, come on, J. Cole lookalike. I need you to stop hooping like J. Cole. Wake up and get focused on this series. So it should be interesting game 7. I think we'll be interested to see. Might be the best game 7 of the series if it goes down there. And now let's talk about the one that was just eliminated. I'm recording this pod around midnight right now. So the Suns Nuggets are over. It's a 4-2 Nugget win series. I had the Nuggets winning in 6. Two first game. I thought the Suns would also win their next 2 games at home. And then it was a matter of who will win on the road first. And I knew the Nuggets would close it out in game 6 because Devin Booker has been incredible this entire playoffs. But you can only – he was dropping 40, 36. I mean, he was averaging, I think, 36 points a game before this game. You can only do so much before you run out of gas. And they were barely winning these games. So the Suns do have to address their depth issue. You can't just put a team together at All-Star after the All-Star and just say, whatever – And they didn't even play games together. So people are talking about, oh, they played seven games. Seven games together. You can't just waltz into the playoffs. I mean, maybe if you're the 2017 Warriors, but nobody else can just walk in and do that. You gotta build some type of chemistry. And you definitely gotta figure out the CP3 situation and Ayton situation. I don't see them being part of this team moving forward. Maybe CP3 might stay because you really got nothing to do with his contract, even though it's only half guaranteed now. But with Ayton, you gotta move on. He's uninspired. I mean, it's the best Ayton is gonna get. And I don't know if we're gonna see him differently on a different organization and different environment, but you gotta get an actual center on this team. Some depth, some great role players, some vets. A lot of this offseason, the NBA is going to be quite the drama. We all know this is going to be a lot of drama. To be honest, NBA offseason is more entertaining than NBA's actual season. I mean, those summers when free agency hits, it's just drugs. We get into Woj bomb, the Shams. I mean, it's just left to right. And then trade season also gets to be interesting. I mean, if there's drama in the NBA this offseason, there's a lot of teams that are like one or two pieces away from actually being champion calibers. And if you're the Suns, that's something you got to look at. And I don't think Monty should suffer. He's a great coach, and I don't think you're going to find a better coach than Monty. So I'm keeping Monty. If you're the Nuggets, this might be the most complete team you have had around Jokic his entire career. The first time ever, you know. And I'm one of those people that had fun while it lasted, but I'm willing to admit this. Hear me out. Jokic should not be punished or judged because he had a backcourt of Austin Rivers and Campazzo. That's who he was running with. And we were like, oh, you're not a champion. You're not. And I'm one of those people that said that, mainly because it benefited me and my Jordan Poole agendas and Golden State. But I'm willing to say, you know, this is the most complete team. This is the first year we see Jokic with a decent run mate. And if Michael Porter Jr. can be Michael Porter Jr., shoot the way he's supposed to shoot, defend, and you're getting some great defensive energy from their rookie Christian Bowen, and KCP can give you this kind of shooting, be probably the best 3-and-D guy right now, you're positioned to win, whether you face the Warriors or the Lakers. I think you'll have a harder time beating both of those teams. I think if the Nuggets can survive the Warriors or the Lakers, they're champions. There's nobody in the East stopping them. I 100% believe that because Golden State will pose a big threat to the Nuggets. And if that series would definitely go to seven, Lakers, it comes down to the production you can get from AD. And also, if the Nuggets bench can actually be the bench that we've been seeing, because you're a deep team, and if you can stay deep, you can outrun the Lakers no matter what AD does or LeBron does. And in this series, we've seen like I for sure said 4-2 Nuggets, and it went just like the way I thought it would go. I just didn't think that the Suns will look this defeated, this bad. They already looked pretty bad against the Clippers, and they were lucky the Clippers were not healthy. I believe even if Kawhi stayed healthy, he could have upset it without even Paul George. But they had both Kawhi and Paul George out, and that's just another story for another day. And that's the series is a wrap. In another year, Kevin Durant has failed. Another team assembled, another failure. What is Kevin Durant's career outside of Steph Curry? What is it really? Because we're going to have to start evaluating. He can keep running, but where is he going to hide? I've never seen somebody who's in the most perfect situation. Like, think about this. You're in a marriage, okay? He's got everything. He's got the looks. He's got the house. He's got the money. He's got the bling. He's got the accolades. He's got everything you wanted. And then you left because you wanted to have a one-night stand with a model. Like, think about that. That's basically what KD is, you know? And is he going through a midlife crisis? What was it like? I'm thinking about anybody else in KD's situation. If it was LeBron who was on the Warriors, would he ever have left? No, because part of being a great in the sports, part of being a superstar or one of the greats to ever do it is having that mental toughness. KD doesn't have that. Like, why is he letting fans get to him. Like, why? Why are you letting them be in your ear and running you away? Why are you letting media create narratives about you that says, oh, you're not a bus driver, you're this or that, and then whoop, they say, you know what, let me go follow Kyrie and all that stuff. You were in the perfect situation. You were in a situation where you possibly could have been a champion for the next 4 or 5 years, because there's no other team created, and the NBA has created right now that could have beat this Warrior team with Kevin Durant. None. None. And they would have had all this happening to you, but here you are, you know, like, I don't know. You could just call it Steph Curry, the one that got away. The one that got away. You always got to look at him like he's the one that got away. And letting Steph fans and stans, including myself, get into your head, like, come on, you better than that. And speaking of the Warriors, let's go to the series that everybody wants me to talk about. This series, I'm gonna tell you something. I knew it was going to be toxic. I for sure thought Twitter will be toxic, media will be toxic, players will be toxic, but I didn't think it would be toxic to this level. I mean, we're getting to a very dangerous level. It's pretty bad, and you know, like, to the point, like, I don't want to say we're getting to a dangerous level. We are at a dangerous level. We are at the point in this series where we're threatening players' wives, children. We're at the point in this series where we're threatening, we're calling players like Kevon Looney's parents ugly, all these names. We're even getting to racism level in this series. It is extreme, you know, like, and some of us are actually falling into this trap because it's so deep that we're using like bad jokes or bad, what's the word for analogies, including myself. You know, I fell into the trap once or twice, but I'm not fully dialed in. And the other day, I was coming down from Twitter, and something is they're calling Kevon Looney's parents apes. Do you realize how racist that is to call a black man an ape? I mean, and then they're, you know, obviously you get the Anthony Davis jokes off of him being soft and his injuries and everything. While I do believe Anthony Davis is very dramatic, you know, I'm never in a position where I want to make fun of a player's injury. I also don't like when fans over exaggerate what happened. There's cameras there. There are cameras in every angle. No elbow was hit on his head. It was just a play where Looney's hands flare up and it connected to his face. In fact, the elbow that LeBron hit Wiggins with was far more vicious, and it should have been worse. But anytime you hear a player might be in concussion protocol or whatever it is, you got to just wait for the reports to fully come out to make sure is it. Sometimes, you know, our bodies are different. People's bodies react different to trauma or hits. We just got to wait it out. But the way this year is going between these two fan bases, it's war. They literally are at each other's necks. They're trying to draw blood. It's like who can say the most out of pocket shit, anything, who could be the most out of pocket person out of all these people? And that's literally what it's coming down to. And it's getting to the coaches, it's getting to the players themselves, and they're all creating agendas and medias and all that stuff. And one interesting level, this topic, like, of this series has really not been about what's happening on the court in terms of like players and playmaking or X's and O's. It's been about the referees. And I have been one of those people that has been super critical about the referees in this series because what they have had too much control in the outcome of the series and the outcome of these games. And when you call out on it, when like a fan base calls out on it and everybody sees they keep calling on it out it, the other one responds by saying, stop crying, stop whining, control what you can control, blah, blah, blah. But the hypocrisy is there because on the games where the series has like equal free throw disparity or like we're pretty even, suddenly the same people that were saying control what you can control, don't yell about or whine about the referees, are now whining about the referees. How dare you don't give us a 20-point advantage? How dare you? Like, that's Laker fans for you right now. Game one, you got like 20 more free throws. Same in game four and game 5, I believe. No, was it game 5? Not game 5. Game 5, they were pretty even. 15-15. Straight 15-15 in game 5. So even. Game 4 was a disparity. Game 3 was a disparity. Game 2 was a disparity. In fact, the Lakers are leading the free throws 68 to 119. Think about it. And then the things they would say to us, like, oh, you know what? Stop whining about the. How about you drive more? Drive more. Well, guess what? In game 4, we had twice the paint points and still lost the free throw battle. And that comes in like a lot of flaring, a lot of flopping. And finally, Steve Kerr, for the first time, I don't know if he was on Twitter, for the first time ever, there's a tweet that I said, every coach, you know, Monty complained about the referees. The very next day, the referees changed their mindset. Same thing with the Heat, same thing with the Celtics. Like, you complain, like, take the fine, speak up. And Steve finally spoke up, said, yo, they're flaring too much. They even sent an investigation to the league. They said, this is too much. Like, are we battling the referees, or are we trying to battle a series? And we're coming out now. The Darvin Ham is gonna come on and say, you know, we don't teach flopping. We play the game perfectly. We don't complain about things. And guess what? He said that before game 5. And then after game 5, and the free throws was 15-15, you know what Darvin Ham said? You know what? I don't even know what reffing is anymore. Guess what? The same man that said I don't complain about reffing decided to complain about reffing when it didn't go his way. The hypocrisy is there with this Laker team. We don't teach flopping. There's evidence. Austin Reeves came on and said he mimics his game again after James Harden and Luka and them and how they draw fouls. Like, he intentionally does this. And you're talking about we don't teach that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Don't do that. You know what you're doing. You know exactly what you're doing. And this series has actually come down to us just every game talking about referees, no matter what side it is. It's really not even about the series. It's about who can hurt each other's fan base's feelings first. You can't even enjoy a win. And unfortunately for the NBA, like, you can't put the two most toxic fan bases in a series and then make every game every other day. No, we need time to process this. You can't even enjoy a win because you got to talk about a million things with a win, and you can't enjoy a loss. Or adjust to a loss because a million things are happening. And when you put out reports like, oh, Anthony Davis is being carted off in a wheelchair. In a wheelchair for what? Why would he be in a wheelchair? I mean, I don't know what the report is. Or you're leaking stories like Golden State's gonna start GP2 6, 7 hours before the game. Like, why is there leaks in the locker room? I'm so confused. Like, why is that a thing? And that's what the series has come down to, like leaking information. You got Chris Haynes doing what I like to call, what's the word for it? I don't know what word I like to call it, but we know he chose a side. He's clutch media, and I don't like any of his reportings because how are you on national television, like TNT, whatever it is they hire you, and you're reporting drama like it's a reality TV show? Please have some shame. Like, you're acting like me. Like, don't do that. Leave the drama and the chaos of Twitter people. Why are you out here talking about players calling each other's names, things happening in the locker room? We don't need to hear that. You're supposed to be a professional. Don't stop acting like your brother and being in this drama and all that stuff. Cause don't piss us off, because we'll get you, Mark. Just like we got Mark. And to this series, like, we got to look forward. I mean, game 1 to 5 is over now. Now we're going to game 6 and possibly game 7. And in game 6, you know, there's so many questions that are coming up right now. Injuries is the biggest one. Anthony Davis has a head injury. And they said he'll play. He's not even in concussion, so I think he's perfectly fine. Or I would hope that he's perfectly fine. But Andrew Wiggins might be out next game. And even if he does play, he might as well be out, because when you have a rib injury, a broken ribs, you can't really defend. It affects everything you do on the court. Kevon Looney had the same injury in 2019, but if you remember, Kevon Looney is not the same player or doesn't have the same role that Andrew Wiggins had, especially in 2019. Especially in 2019, he doesn't have to shoot. He doesn't have to defend.
I mean, he did have to defend. He didn't have to defend like Wiggins does at the perimeter, where players are elbowing and putting in his chest. I mean, this is just a huge loss for Golden State. Huge loss. And if he can't go, if I see Dashaun not be named on the court, you know exactly what I'm talking about, Steve Kerr. If I see that Lamp play on the court instead of Kuminga, I'm rooting for the Lakers, because don't do that. Don't do that. Give Kuminga his run, and we're gonna have to live with the results. And we just had a season, and what a season Andrew Wiggins has had. I want to highlight that too, because he's been through so much this season. He got hurt twice, okay? Came back from these injuries, tried to get in rhythm, and then had that family emergency where he was out for 40 games, and then came back in the playoffs, and he just finally got his legs under him. Like, game five was the first time I thought he had his shot back. He was in rhythm, and then boom, just like that. I mean, I feel so bad for him, because he's clearly our number two. And look what happens when Steph has a number two, because Klay's not the number two. Poole's not the number two. Dre's not the number two. It's Wiggins. And when your number two is down, hurt, injured, I mean, games that Wiggins shows up, we are in control from start to finish. Start to finish. Last night, there's not a moment in that game that I thought we were going to lose. Not a moment. Because Andrew Wiggins was active with Steph. Takes a lot of pressure off. And now your second player is down. Now I have to rely on game six Klay showing up. And I feel like a lot of that mental thing has gone to Klay, that we've been forcing this whole game six thing on him instead of it happening naturally. But we need it. And there's no way Draymond is going to give me 20 points again. It's not going to happen. And finally, Draymond realized to prioritize his main girl over his side piece in game five, and actually show some hustle. You know what I mean? Like, he was getting on LeBron's face. He was yelling at the referees. He was energized, man. He was not soft. For the first time in the series, he was not soft. It was 2016 pre-clutch Draymond. We got that, bro. That's the brother we died behind. Not this fake new Draymond. I don't know who this new Draymond is. And we got that in game five. If we can get that brother, if he showed up in one or two other games, we win. We win those games. If he showed up in game one or game four, it's donezo. It's a wrap. But now we got to pray that he shows up game six. I just need somebody else outside of Steph Curry to show up to game six, because I know if we push it to game seven, it's over. It's over. I'm not worried about game seven at all. Game seven, I think we got it on the books. We force them, their backs against their wall in game seven, they will fold. Game six is where we have to really focus on who can help Steph Curry out, because I know Steph will show up. Who else? With Wiggins' injury, who can we look forward to? And I know the Lakers role players will show up at home. The question is, will our role players step up? And I do consider Draymond Green and Klay Thompson role players, because they seem to only show up at home. And that's what role players do. If you really are stars, if you're all-star or fringe all-stars, show up on the road. Give us something on the road. And I hope we get a game seven, because it's all hell will break loose on Friday night if that happens. And you know I'm gonna be on demon time. Demon time. So then hopefully the next time we get to this pod, the next episode of 13, y'all gonna hear Warriors and then moving on facing the Nuggets. Because it's gonna be one hell of a series. And that's a wrap for me. Lovely talking to you all. Thank you. This is Nana signing out from In the Database.